हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तुमाविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो दैट वर ऑन भागवत संदर्भ अध्याय 3 आदिकाण्ड 5 Anucheta 67, page 98. So the vritti. Next, the distinctive aspects of the Vaikuntha planet are focused. The Vaikuntha planet, which is non-different from the Lord, is eternal and is beyond the material modes of nature, because of which its inhabitants are completely fearless. Anucheta 67. Vaikuntha is beyond the material world, which the devotee never leaves. Both these facts are expressed in the following statement. Ata patram tu vaikuntham dvija dama kuto bhayam. O Brahmanas, the Lord's umbrella represents fearlessness founded by Kunta, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.11.19. This verse is in a discussion concerning the material world. Dvija is in the vocative. Sutta spoke thus. Anucheta 68. Satve pra lina svar yanti nara lokam rajo laya tamo layas tu nirayam yanti mam eva nirguna. Those who leave this world in sattva go to the heavenly planets. Those who pass away in rajas remain in the world of human beings, and those dying in tamas must go to hell. But those who are free from the influence of all modes of nature come to me, even while living. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.25.22. Since the discussion is concerning planets, mam means my planet. Of course, attaining the planet, one attains the Lord, they are non-different. The Lord spoke thus. Right? So, the whole point is that if you're engaged in devotional service, because we saw before is that there is no activity that equals bhakti, because bhakti can give you a transcendental result. While all the other activities, all the other pieties can only give you some situation within the mahatattva. They can't give you otherwise. So that's the uniqueness of bhakti. It will take you to Krishna's place and to be with Krishna. And because Krishna's place and Krishna are non-different, therefore then if you go to his place, you'll be with him. If you're with him, you'll be in his place. So you don't have to separate that. And you also have the aspect of that one is fearless, because one is not worried about birth and death. One's not worried about a change. So all it is that it's the eternal interaction between the Lord and the devotees. So that becomes very, very special, very nice, is that you know that that's always going to continue on. But because of that absorption in the Lord, that connection with the Lord, it's something that you always want to be doing, always want to be absorbed in. So you want to be more and more involved. So if the Lord's not there, that separation, it doesn't create any fear or anything in the way of that you'll be in the material world. It's just creating flavors in connection with one's attachment to the Lord. And so then it will have that variety and everything. Anucheta 69.
Maharaj?
Yes, please.
It says Anucheta 67, the first sentence. Vaikuntha is beyond the material world which the devotee never leaves. I don't want to touch the point who is falling from where, but Can this be the proof?
Can this be
the proof that the soul never leaves Vaikuntha, actually, because it was never there?
Means that those devotees that are there, yeah, they never leave. Yeah, you could take it in that way, because one's going there, one never returns. That's the element. So you have to be in a position in which you can't, because we see as Maharaj Bharat, he fell down from the Uttama platform. He wasn't on the platform of Prema, he was on the platform of Bhava. So that means the platform of Bhava, you can fall from. Now, generally you wouldn't, but you can, right? But if you're in the neutral state, that Brahma Bhuta state, but you're not cultivating that affection for Krishna, then it's even easier to fall down, right? Because it's a matter of taste. And so one is the taste of performing the activities. It means if you're performing the activities of jnana and kriya, which is what everybody's doing, because that's the environment that they're functioning within. So if they're performing these activities, and in performance of these activities, one focuses on the taste one's getting from the activity rather than its connection to Krishna, that's then when you can develop that material consciousness. Right? And so then you can leave that position. But once one goes to Vaikuntha, you know, goes to the other side, then one is in the transcendental position, and one will never come back. Now, this also becomes a little confusing, because then if we say, oh, then we were always this side of the Viraja. But then the point problem is if we're looking at it as time and space, then you can say, but you can't say by time and space that argument that Bhoma Leela is this side of Viraja. It's still also that side. But it's that position in which both can be combined. Right? Because we're expanding from the Tathasta Shakti. And the Tathasta Shakti is the potency that both the material and spiritual can be together at the same time. So that's a very unique thing, is that these things can be functioning in that way. And so that's the difficult, why it can't be understood by material logic, because you're dealing with the unlimited being in this position of the limited. And so, but it's still unlimited. So it's just a matter of once one has thought of Krishna and gone to Krishna, then one never leaves that. So that means why the Nitya Siddhas, they're in that position of Brahma Bhuta, they move forward to Krishna. So they're already in the transcendental position and they never come to the material position. But they will have been within the Bhoma Leela. Right? So the situation is the same. And so that's the because the difficulty comes in these things is that the evidence is beyond time and space. That's why it's called a nadi. That's the difficulty, is that we want some linear kind of explanation. And whenever you give a linear explanation, then it also brings up other doubts. You know, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that there's Krishna is one, then he becomes two, now he becomes one again. Right, as Lord Chaitanya. So then you're putting in there, for us, then it looks like it's a time and space thing, when it's not. It's beyond time and space. It's just Krishna's mood, it's Krishna's flavor. He wants to manifest these things, expand and all that. But at the same time, as everything is him, so even he expands it, it's still within him. At the same time, he's without it. So that's the difficult is that we want to use time and space. So the point is here, the devotee never leaves because he's in that. Vaikuntha is beyond the material world. So whether it's situated in Bhoma Leela or beyond the Mahatattva, it's still beyond the material world. Right? At the same time as the devotee never leaves. So they never leave, in that they never took on the material consciousness, so they never leave. And having come to that platform of transcendence, then, you know, once they gain that element of rati, become situated there, then they're not going to drop that. They're not going to leave that. So on the platform of prema, they don't leave. At the same time is then if one has diverted the consciousness from its the jnana and kriya shakti's connection to Krishna, then that can bring you into the material consciousness, which will naturally bring you into the material space. So you can be just like the, you know, just as an example, you could say the yogic Brahmins and their wives are both physically, you can say by time and space, they're both within the same place of Vrindavan. But the interesting thing is the wives are actually in the spiritual world in the same place, while the husbands are in the material world in the same place. So that's the difficulty. That's why it's one of those, you know, it's not an important topic, though people love to make it so important. It's the make it or break it up for everything. But it's actually unimportant to this. You know what I'm saying? It's just like for me to take the medicine for a disease, do I have to know exactly where I got the disease from? No, I can take the medicine and be cured. It doesn't matter. But people say, no, I'll only take the medicine if I know where I got it from and how it developed. And it has nothing to do with each other. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that so like you can eat dinner and you don't have to know what store you bought the potatoes from. You know, like that. So you can explain it as much as the audience can appreciate it. But when it's one of those things, it's like an attachment or an issue, then no matter what you do, you won't be able to explain it. Like, I don't know more if you remember when we were in the new library downstairs, and we were running the classes there for the first so many years. You know, the new library. New. You know, over at the boys' school.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we had one devotee there that whenever there was an opportunity to bring up this point and argue it, he would. And that went on for 3 years. And this was also including that after class, I would sometimes sit with him for 45 minutes, an hour or more, and discuss it in more detail. Finally, once after 3 years, he caught it. He understood it. Because this was like, for him, it means literally a make it or break it point. And so then, he understood it, but then he says, okay, well, you're saying this, but no one else in this kind of is saying this. So therefore he could carry on his fight, the anti, you know, like this and that, you know, so what to do? So that's why it's absolutely not an important thing. What we have to know is that we're here because of material consciousness, and one goes there by spiritual consciousness. That's what you have to know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is one of those topics you can deal with it if it's one of those easily you explain it and then you can move on. But if people no, but this and that, and it's not worth it. It's really not worth it. So yes, it says they never leave. So, and then once we go to that platform that we're actually, you could say, in Vaikuntha, in the way of consciousness, we would never leave. But the point is the first, that manifest existence in the spiritual realm, but we're not actually in consciousness in the spiritual realm. We're in the neutral state. And then from neutral, we come to the material. Does that make sense? So these are subtle points, you know, and then people would get bent out of shape, but no, but if I didn't love Krishna, why should I go there? Because that's what you're normally supposed to do. You know, it's like, why do babies, you know, love their parents? It's a natural thing. When they're first born, they don't know who their parents are and this and that. Then by interaction, they develop that affection. So that it's just a standard thing. That's how appearance works. Yeah? Good. Okay. Yes. Yes, yes.
According to the verse, it's written here, but those who are free from the influence of all modes of nature come to me even while living. So this basically yes. means they should be on the level of Brahma-Bhuta. Is that right?
Yes, means that if you are, means, in other words, those who are always absorbed in the Lord, like that, they've come to the Uttama platform. They've come to the transcendental platform. So then coming to that transcendental platform, then they are residing in the spiritual world, though they're still here. But by consciousness are theirs. That's why you see in the Manasiksha, then Raghunath Das Goswami in his invocation, he offers his obeisances to the Brajvasis, both those who physically live there and those who physically live here. Right? In other words, those who live there in their spiritual form, you know, in other words, Vastu City, and those who are there, you know, in their spirit by meditation. So that's the whole point is that if one's inside, it's just like, let's say something is, something's in the body. It doesn't matter where it is, it's in the body. You know, so say like the blood is moving right now, a particular, you know, how you say, you know, what do you call those things? The cell of hemoglobin or something is moving, it's now it's in your right hand, and after, you know, some time it'll be in your left hand, then after some time in your foot, but it's still, you just get, it's inside, it doesn't matter where it is. So the difficulty comes is that Krishna, he everything is him, because everything's coming from him and everything is inside him. So whether it's inside him here or over there, it doesn't matter, it's still within him. So therefore, this position of being able to be in the spiritual world, because the consciousness is absorbed in Krishna, there's not a problem there, because it's not a matter of time and space. You're already in Krishna. Now, the point is material covering covers our consciousness. So our spiritual form, our spiritual nature and everything, that's covered by the gross and subtle body, by this polluted consciousness. So you remove the polluted consciousness, then you're situated on the transcendental platform. You're in the spiritual world, right? So that's the whole point that's there. So sometimes that's forgotten, and it's thinking, okay, we're here. Krishna's very far away there, but Krishna's sitting in our hearts. So does that mean he's in the material world? No, he appears by his internal potency. He's always in the transcendental position. And so if we're absorbed in him, then like here, we attain the same position, because the same planet as the Lord is that same position as the Lord. Right? You have the existence, we're in the same existence. Like that. And we perform activities, and we're within the same position. So there's no time and space. So this thing of time and space many times throws off devotees for things. You know, like the thing with the how does he get from, you know, Nandagaon to, you know, this place so quickly and this and that, and then, you know, people come up, okay, well, you know, there's the lotus and it opens and closes, so therefore then if you're on this point you're going here and this closes here, then you're immediately there. You know, we want a time and space continuum explanation, but that doesn't matter. How the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis take care of it, that doesn't matter, because of Krishna's desire. That's the whole point. By Krishna's desire, that's how it works, because it's a matter of taste. You're going out with the cows. You have to have that feeling of going out with the cows. And, you know, some pastime while you're going with the cows. And also the taste of arriving. But, you know, all the space in between, that's not so important. You know, the little cowherd boys are in the back going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, we don't need that, right? So there's going to be some fun on the way, some this and that. And so all that will take place, because there's no time and no space. It's all Krishna. So what is the matter of time and space? Here, we're under the control of time and space. So we see a beginning, a middle, and an end. all these things. But for Krishna, there's no beginning, there's no middle, there's no end. Because he is the beginning, he is the middle, he is the end. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that if one, that's why simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different. So the inconceivable parts, a lot of times we don't mention. You know, but it's inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different. So it's not conceivable. It's just Krishna by his grace that one can appreciate. But otherwise, it doesn't make sense. How can they be, you know, two can be one and one can be two? You know, and we're not talking, the musketeers here or something. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj. I think one of the Upanishads mentions that the Lord doesn't have inside or outside. Everything is
yes.
In, basically. So it's like...
Yes. Yeah, very nice point. Very nice point. That, there's no inside, there's no outside, you know. But at the same time is, you can, by his internal, you can define who he is. He manifests by his internal potency. And the internal potency is his energy, but you can still tell the difference between him as Shaktiman and the manifestation of his energy. Now you can still tell the difference, even though he's manifesting through internal potency, still it's him, because the internal potency is him. But he is the support of that. And then when that's being supported, that's where you see, then you have the devotees. So it's very fine. You want to say something? Okay.
That's why in Paramatma Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami mentions that one of the most primary qualities of the Lord is the source of inconceivable Shaktis. Mm. Based on that, all other qualities could be explained. Him being the source of inconceivable Shaktis.
Yes, so when he spoke, did it echo?
No, it was fine. We heard it fine.
Okay. Yes, so... Yes, because he's the source of all these Shaktis. That's the second principle. That's what we'll get into in Paramatma Sandarbha, meaning he's the Lord of the Shaktis, we'll see in the Paramatma Sandarbha. That he's the source of the Shaktis, that's here in the Bhagavad Sandarbha. You know, and that he's the taster of relationship and interaction with the Shaktis, that's the third principle. So we see is that he is the Supreme Lord, is there all the way through in all three. But in one, he's the source of the Shaktis, and one, he is the controller of the Shaktis, and the third, he's the enjoyer of the Shaktis. So that makes the difference. And so then when the Jiva has their position as a Shakti, but then if they want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then they're known as Badaji. And if they want to engage in line with serving Krishna, then they're called Nitya. So it becomes very straightforward, but we're not used to being straightforward. We're used to things being very complicated, because we're trying to be the Lord when we're not the Lord, and we want to be the singular Lord when every other living entity wants to be the singular Lord. And so that makes it very complicated, but we, you know, so we're not used to simple and straightforward.
I think nowadays it's considered, at least in the West, considered uncultured to be straightforward. Like, unless you're in New York or something, but otherwise, in Europe, if you're straightforward, it's like, no.
Yeah, I think you're from Holland or something. Yeah, because they hate not being straightforward, you know. But that's the thing, is in the Vedic, it has to be straightforward. So then that becomes the art, is that to be able to speak in a straightforward, speak straightforward subject matter in a very, you know, cultured gentle way. That becomes the thing. But to do that, it's not just, it's a technique. It comes because of the heart being purified. So that's only going to happen by devotional service. So if you're still rough around the edges, the only solution is devotional service. You know, you're aware of being rough around the edges, so you try to do better. But why? Because it's important to be not rough, or it's important to please Krishna. So not being rough, being gentle, is a quality that's used in Krishna's service. So we're trying to be gentle to please Krishna, but the main thing is we're engaged in service, because nothing else can produce it. You can't separately produce gentleness like that. Because you see the same situation. Let us say we take a situation, you know, typical. I'm taking something from, you know, seventh grade, literature, you know, class, you know. That, you know, there's the story, you know, so you have, it means that we're taking two different stories, but I'm putting them together to illustrate the point, is that you have the same situation where there's the kids, and let's say they're not in a socially ideal situation, right? They may be from more of a poor background, or from a particular community or ethnicity or something that others look down upon. Right. And so, you know, and so up to five, they don't even notice it. And then at five, when they're out with the family, someone says something or some comment is made or something comes up, that then they become exposed to this. Right. So now we have, you know, typically, you know, according to the storyline, two plots. Right. At least one's worth, you know, writing about. So one plot is that the boy then seeing that and seeing that this is wrong, that he works very hard, he does good in school and all that, he gets the top marks, he goes to the best school, he gets the best situation, and now as, you know, a PhD or some other leader in society, now he speaks out against, you know, discrimination and this and that, and everyone sees him as, you know, an ambassador to goodwill and an example and, you know, a hero and everything like that. Right. And of course, we know the other one, then he gets more and more annoyed and this and that until he becomes, you know, some big, you know, criminal or, you know, drug lord or this or that. And, you know, killing everybody and this and that because he just feels bad about when he was 5 year old, someone called him something. Right. So that's the same thing as we can say is, oh, no, but it comes from this. It comes from that. No, it's just a matter of how you want to deal with it. So the whole point is the same situation is there, but one is going down in the cycle of samsara and one is coming up. You know, they're in the same unfortunate position, but one was worse and now is coming up and getting better. And the other one was better and now he's getting worse. Yeah. So that's the whole thing is that this idea that no, we'll just make a separate endeavor to become a nice person and gentle person, it won't happen. Because as soon as you step into the realm of karma, you are where you are. You know, like you see, devotees in a very nice social position and facilities and authority and everything in Krishna consciousness, being dynamic in Krishna consciousness, then if they make the mistake to think that this is them, and, you know, and they're disgruntled with things in, you know, around them in the society or how this and that, and they step out of the society, they go right back where they started, where the day they walked into the temple, they go back to that position, literally. And they're just another face in the crowd with that particular position. But now if they take up Krishna consciousness, they'll be right back where they were. So the exchange rate is very bad. You know, so the whole idea is that you have to be very, very careful to understand is that the devotional itself is what creates everything. You know, we were discussing about this primary and secondary aspects, and so then Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us nice example. You know how there's that thing and you just can't find it? It's right there and you can't, you were looking at it yesterday, but you can't find it, right? Yeah, because there's just the words that he used are just so perfect. You know, he starts talking about the rules are of two types, primary and secondary. Those rules that directly lead us to serving and satisfying the Lord are called primary rules. Those rules of life that indirectly support that goal are called secondary. Right. So the direct result of the primary rules is worship of the Lord. There's no intervening results between the rule and worship of the Lord. Right, okay. We must always observe the primary rules, but if we do not observe the secondary rules, we can't maintain the body properly, nor our lives. If we cannot maintain our life, how can we follow the primary rules of devotional service? The secondary rules are the ornament of a person's life. Material education, technology, industry, civilization, order, perseverance, bodily, mental, and social rules are accepted, and that they may be used to bring humanity to serve the feet of the Lord sincerely. Being servants of the primary rules by the Lord's grace, they make human life blissful, both during practice and perfection. It means these secondary rules. It means they're servants of the primary rules. So this whole point is that these secondary rules being subservient to, then they can't be developed outside of their connection with Krishna, because what has happened is that the primary rules, when they're applied to matter, to, you know, material objects, to material qualities and to material relationships, that's where they become secondary. But when the same potency is applied to Krishna, relationship with Krishna, you know, things in connection with Krishna, activities connected to Krishna, then you're dealing with the primary dharma. So that's the point, is the secondary is a transformation of the primary. So piety is a transformation of bhakti. That's why punya can't function without bhakti. But the problem is that we're applying it to material things, so we don't call it bhakti. But how it functions is the same activities. It's the same mood, the same attitude, just it's not directed towards Krishna. But you have to be, you know, he's devoted to his work, or he's devoted to his family, or he's devoted to his interest or his passion or his country. So you still have to use the same bhakti. You have to be able to do the performance, the work, because it's your duty, without desire for the results for yourself. Right? But because it's being applied to something material, then it's called a material activity. It's secondary. So when these are used for Krishna, then it becomes useful. So when we take these qualities that are there, and good qualities, and use them in connection with Krishna, then they take on the quality of the primary. Because we see is the qualities that are there, where we read okay, so nectar devotion, then explaining all these qualities that are there, but those are coming because of that rati and attraction to Krishna. That's why they're there. While here, You can say, oh, he's a nice guy, but why? It's just because his gross and subtle body are, you know, have that quality to it. It's not separate from that. It's not separate. So that's the mistake that's being made, is because we identify with the body, then we think that they're naturally just there. And so we don't make the understanding, or don't have the understanding, that you use it for Krishna, it's non-different than devotional service and service to Krishna. But you don't use it for Krishna, it's mundane. That's all. So that becomes the difficulty, is that if we don't distinguish that between the primary and secondary, and that the secondary is simply the primary being directed towards material objects, then we have a problem. You know, I'm nice to Krishna. Okay, I'm nice to the devotees. Okay, I'm nice to my family. Okay, but the point is, what's the relationship? So you have to see, is whatever that relationship, how that's being directed, that's going to make the difference on its effect. So unless you take that those activities of directed towards the family and see that that's being done because to please Krishna, then it doesn't take on the spiritual quality, right? But because ultimately, whatever you do, if you offer it to Krishna, then you get the benefit of the connection all the way through, then you're still able to advance in devotional service. So you're chanting, you're taking prasad, you're doing some other services, though let's say a majority of the day we're just dealing on the material platform, but still, because ultimately things are for Krishna, you get the spiritual benefit, you move forward. And then the more and more we understand this, about this consciousness of Krishna and everything connected to Krishna, then the more benefit we get and the quicker we move forward. But that's the beauty of devotional service. So there isn't something separate from devotional service. That's the illusion. The material world is still Krishna's world that's supposed to be engaged in devotional service. But because it's just like the prison, everything in the prison, isn't that supposed to be used according to the laws that are there of the prison? Right? And who sets those laws? Right? The government. So it's not that at home, you know, you deal with your bed in one way, and at prison, then you can, you know, deal with it in another. No, it's the same thing. You get up in the morning, you make your bed, you know, you don't throw it out, you don't do something stupid. So it's the same thing. The same property is supposed to be used in the same way. So that's the difficulty, is that there's this illusion that it's something separate. Then the material world, it's separate from Krishna because we don't see the connection to Krishna, but it's not, because it's still one of his energies. It's this inferior energy, but it's still Krishna's energy. And because it's Krishna's energy, therefore using it in Krishna's service, then everything works out perfect. Right? And if we don't use it in Krishna's service, then we get the effects of the material energy, the external energy. So that becomes the difficulty, is appreciating that there's nothing separate from Krishna. Like you said, there's no inside, there's no outside. Everything comes from Krishna. So if that's understood, then we're able to deal very comfortably within devotional service, distinguish between the primary and secondary, and keep ourselves very nicely situated in devotional service. But if we don't make that distinction, then the difficult qualities, what people are talking about and that and stuff like that. And so then we think that without these, you can't have devotional service, when it's actually the other way around. You can't be a nice person without being a devotee. You can say, oh no, but I've met so many nice people. Are they nice all the way across? I mean, or where, you know, like that. So devotees are never nice. Right? Oh no, but the karmis are nicer than the devotees. In what situation? You know, okay, in this particular situation of interacting with you on a particular occasion, maybe that karmi was nicer because he doesn't know who you are and he has no problems with you. But that devotee knows who you are and has a problem. Are you going to say in other situations that that same karma is perfect all the way across? So even our desire for perfection in, you know, these social qualities and interaction is still self-centered around us. We want that, or we, what is valuable to us, that should happen. You know, to our friends and family, that's how it should work. So then if it doesn't come out the way I want, something's wrong. And so the karmis will deal nicely. Like I've seen people say, I go out and the karmis at work and that, and they're so nice to me and all that, but when I come home, then they're not nice and all that. And that's because you behave like a rat bag at home, and at work you behave like a rat bag, they fire you, so you behave nicely. You know, they don't catch this. They just see as these guys are nice, these guys are not nice. You know, that's all. They're not using their intelligence. So the point is that connection to Krishna is what makes everything work. There isn't anything else. That's what Lord Chaitanya gives. That's faith. That's Shraddha, Vishvasa, is that you have faith that only devotional service is complete. It includes everything else. Because we have a tendency, I've done all these things and now there's this devotional service has come along. There's this big world and then there's this little bit of devotional service. When actually there's devotional service, and within that there's this little place where people don't know about devotional service. So until we switch that consciousness, then it becomes more difficult. Is that okay? Good? Yeah? Good. Okay. Yeah? Okay. Anucheda 69. Vaikuntha is without the gunas. Vanam tu satviko vaso gramo rajasa uchate tamasam juta saranam man niketam tu nirgunam. Residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness. Residence in a town is in the mode of passion. Residence in a gambling house displays the quality of ignorance. And residence in a place where I reside is beyond the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-25. The temple is considered nirguna since it is non-different from the Lord. So that's what Prabhupada says, that if you're in the temple or a place where devotional service is going on, then it's non-different from the spiritual world. You know, so there was a lecture, I think he was in Melbourne. And, there he was saying, this is the spiritual world. It's not the material world. That's because then the deity is there, everyone's relating to Krishna and serving Krishna. And so it's the spiritual world, because wherever Krishna is, it's the spiritual world. Like, as we mentioned before, that him and his place are non-different. Wherever he is his place. Wherever his place is, he's there. Like that. The Lord spoke thus. Anucheda 70. Vaikuntha is beyond Prakriti. Ajanantaf prati vidhim tushnim asan sureshvara tato vaikuntham agamad Ashvaram tamasaf param yata narayanaf sakshan nyasinam paramogatihi shantanam nyasti dandanam yato navartate gataha. The great devatas could only remain silent, not knowing how to counteract the benediction. Then Shiva reached the luminous realm of Vaikuntha, beyond all darkness, where the supreme Narayan is manifest. That realm is the destination of the renounced, who have attained peace and given up all violence against other creatures. Going there, one never returns. Srimad Bhagavatam 88:25-26. So then Jiva Goswami's comment is, Shiva went agamat to Vaikuntha. Anucheda 71. So we see here's that there's no violence against other creatures because they're not seeing how to exploit their position, like that. They're only serving Krishna. So one can say, no, but we're only engaging them in Krishna's service. But the point is it has to be as favorable for Krishna. And it's the appropriate way to engage that devotee. then it works very nicely. You know, so we have to be able to give up this element of that violence towards others, because violence means you're not engaged according to your nature, means you're not engaged in Krishna's service. Anucheta 71. Janaloka is on the neck, Tapaloka is on the breast, and Satyaloka is on the head of that form. Above this is the Lord's planet, which is eternal. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.39. The commentary says, Brahmaloka means Vaikuntha. It is eternal. It is not grouped with the material world, which has creation. Brahmaloka means that planet, Loka, which arises from the Lord, Brahma. Right? So in the Shastra, you see Upanishads, Te Brahmaloke Tu Para Antakale. So Brahmaloka is that which is coming from the Lord. So his planet is coming from the Lord, like that. The Mayavadis will take it that Brahmaloka, Loka just means the Brahman. They just take it as an area or a place or something, you know, Area 51 or something, you know. So, but it means it's coming from him. Then you have Brahmaloka, means the place where Lord Brahma resides. So if we see that here, Brahmaloka is used in the context of it's Brahman and coming from the Lord, that's how it's applied. You know, that's why you see here, Satyaloka is mentioned. So that we know is that's Brahma's planet. But at other times, you just hear, you know, Jana Tapa Satya, Jana, what is it? Jana? Tapa. Yeah, Mahar Satya. Yeah, and there Satya. And so it can also be called Brahmaloka because Lord Brahma is there. But that's a different aspect. But then the thousand-headed Vishnu resides there. So in that way, that's what makes it Brahmaloka. You know, well, Jani take because Brahma lives there. So you have, depending on the context, both these. But its original form is that it's Brahmaloka means the Lord's place, the Lord's planet. Brahma spoke thus to Narada, right? So Brahma is speaking this, so we have to take that. That's why you see is that if Brahma is saying Brahmaloka means Vaikuntha and Satyaloka means his planet, you have to accept that. Just like we see in, I think it's ninth canto, then when Urvasi speaking to Pururavas, then there she's explaining the nature of women. So you have to accept it. You know, that's why you see is any instructions about the nature of women, you know, in details, always coming from women. It's not coming from men, because if it came from men, oh, that's the men, they don't know. But it's always given a woman speaks that, you know, like that. So the thing is now Brahma is speaking this to Narada, then one has to accept that, yes, this is correct. Right? Vriti. Having described that the Vaikuntha planet is free from influence of the gunas and is non-different from the Lord, next the Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha is asserted as the highest destination of mankind. The yogis who desire to give up that which is not spiritual, neti neti, and also give up the idea of the Lord and Jiva being the same, Risrijya Dauratmyam, and embrace the worthy lotus feet of the Lord, can attain this topmost destination of Vaikuntha Loka. Right? So when you see Vaikuntha is free from the influence of the modes, and it's non-different from the Lord, it's transcendental, then you're also willing to give up that the Lord and the Jiva are the same, that you understand there's a difference. Right? So in other words, the Lord and his planet are the same, but the Lord and the Jiva we see are different. You know, and so and you give up the desire just to get rid of the material and not replace it with the spiritual. When all these things are given up, then you can take up devotional service. So we're just interested in making the material world a better place or getting rid of the material world, and that's as far as we're taking it. That's either karma or jnana. You won't take up devotional service. If you think the Lord and the living entity are the same and there's no difference, how is there devotional service? Because the devotional service means there has to be two. right? And if you think that Krishna's place is material, that, you know, or that he's material, then you can't understand. So when you give these things up, then you can take up devotional service. Is that, yeah? Anucheta 72. Vaikuntha is attained only by bhakti and derides the happiness of liberation. Okay, so that's the point. Now he gives us evidence. Those are here topics other than the glorification of Krishna. Unworthy topics which destroy intelligence cannot enter Vaikuntha. Topics heard by those unfortunate persons taking away their good fortune throw them into hell with no shelter. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-23. We saw from a previous purport of Prabhupada that here he's saying is that this unworthy topic means impersonal understanding. That's the unworthy topic. Those who are far above rules by following the Lord with dedication, who are superior to us, and whose qualities are desirable by us, and whose bodies develop goosebumps and uncontrolled tears through attraction to discussions with the Lord, possessing most excellent qualities, enter Vaikuntha. So in other words, you appreciate the devotees, then you can come to that transcendental position. But if you don't like devotees, then how you'll attain to pure devotional service? Because Krishna does all his leela in the context of devotees. And so if you're not into devotees, then how will you like Vaikuntha? It's like chock-a-block with devotees. You know, it's like the temple. Like I remember the temple we were staying in St. Louis. You know, regular, you know, nice size, but a regular two-story house, or no, three-story house. Well, three-story, that's quite big. But on the street, there were other houses like that. And so in that a house like that, you know, you might have, you know, four, five, six people living, maybe eight people. That's it, you know, one family. So we would have 30, 40 people living in there. You know, so it's just, you know, you don't like devotees. You're not going to like being in the spiritual world. It's got more people than the material world does. But because everyone's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. No one disturbs each other. Like I gave you example of when you walking down the street, you can be in Butter Bazaar. And if you're just a little careful, you can walk down the street there. Though there's thousands of people, you won't bump into anyone. No one will bump into you. But you go over to Delhi and that you have a huge sidewalk and there's only you and one or two other people walking on it. They will bump into you. It's just they have to. It's part of the padati. You know, you can't be a Delhi walla unless you bump into the other people. You know, it's like pinball or something. So that the point is that everything there is perfect because it's all centered around Krishna, like the concentric rings. So therefore, we see as you give up the impersonal concept, you accept the devotees, you accept their position. Then the next, those persons, yet, who are superior to us, desired by us, who are beyond rules since they are perfect, go to Vaikuntha, yat. They are attracted to topics of the Lord with great qualities. Bartu su yasaha. This shows that bhakti has no interest in the happiness of liberation, Shanaka says. Right? So this yat means is that these persons, they're on the transcendental platform, so therefore being in Vaikuntha is their natural position. Because wherever the Lord is, his place is there. They're absorbed in the Lord, they're in his place. Persons who have realized you. That was a comment to the other one. So Shanaka says this now. Persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of impersonal liberation as your mercy. What to speak of attaining a material position like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord raising his eyebrow. O Lord, those devotees surrendered to your lotus feet are expert knowers of rasa derived from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify everyone like a tirtha. So we see as we have to give up this idea that the jiva and the Lord are the same. So you have to give up liberation and you have to have that positive appreciation of the devotees and their position. If that's there, then you'll see everything will go very nicely. Brahma spoke thus to the devatas. I think the Shonaka says you should drop that. Yeah. Yeah. So we understand that's a comment, and then this is that. Anucheda 73. Vaikuntha is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Persons who, so that last one was about, what was that? That was, Vaikuntha is attained by bhakti, only by bhakti, and derives the happiness of liberation. So liberation is given up and only by bhakti. So you see, it's only by devotees. Appreciation of the association of devotees, serving in the association of devotees, following the footsteps of the devotees. That's how one gets to the spiritual realm. There isn't any, it says only, there isn't another way. You know, you can't, how you say, was it, who's this guy, that Tesla Walla, you know, you're not going to, huh? Yeah, you can't get a, buy a ticket from him or something like that. You know, there's a lot of borrowed things, but you're not going to get a ticket to Vaikuntha. And the one about she's got a ticket to ride, that's not the Vaikuntha, right? Yeah. Vaikuntha is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Persons who seriously follow these methods of achieving me, which I have personally taught, attain peace, my abode, also known as Brahman. Right? So that's why we don't have a problem with the concept of Brahman, because we know Brahman just means it's connected to Krishna, it's transcendental. So the attachment to Brahman, meaning the Brahma Jyotir, then that's something we're not, you know, it's there. But the point is all this is that everything's Brahman because it's all coming from Krishna. Like that. But it's the person who's the source of Brahman, right? Brahmano hi pratishtaham. So that's the. Those who follow my paths, ways of attaining me through jnana, karma, and bhakti, attain my abode. This means that bhakti in the beginning sometimes takes a little assistance of karma and jnana. So that's why we have the karma yoga, jnana yoga, and much of the time we'll start with karma misra bhakti or jnana misra bhakti, right? They attain my abode, which is auspicious for bhakti, kshemam. They know this place is the supreme Brahman, right? So there's so many aspects of Brahman, then there's the supreme position. Here is another example. Thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Lord revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond Prakriti. Okay, Krishna revealed the place which was existence, knowledge, infinity, eternity, and self-effulgence. Sages see that place in trance when their consciousness is freed from the modes of material nature. Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 28, 14, and 15. Yeah. Adding the word cha to indicate that the Lord showed his planet and Brahma Jyoti, thus giving a different meaning to the verses, is not accepted. Tamasaparam, beyond matter, modifies Svam Loka, Krishna's planet. Right. So the whole point is that it's not that he showed his planet and the Brahma Jyoti. That his planet is there, then he showed existence, knowledge, infinity, eternity, and self-effulgence. No, the planet is that. That's the whole point. So it's they're non-different. Vaikuntha is Brahman. So we have to give up this attachment that the impersonal is something separate and stands on its own. You know, it's the same principle that we see is that, you know, attachment to we see the same pattern there in karma and jnana is that attachment. That in jnana we see this attachment, how everything's Brahman, so you're trying to bring it to the Brahma Jyoti element, the impersonal element. And in the karma, that it's that the qualities and all that themselves, you know, stand on their own. So one, we're taking Brahman on its own. The other, we're taking the qualities on its own, you know, the knowledge and the qualities. So that's the difficulty. We're trying to take that knowledge and qualities and existence are separate from Krishna, the person. That's the material disease. And so if it is separate, then we can enjoy it how we like. You know, that's the position we're trying to deal. But if it's not separate from Krishna, then what does that mean? It means it would be improper for me to use it separately than Krishna. So that determination, then that's what we're trying to develop. That's the Shraddha. So otherwise, then the problem is always going to be there, that we're going to have, we're going to be, you know, overcome with these problems that come up due to these mundane attachments, the karma and jnana. But by connecting it to Krishna, then this karma yoga, jnana yoga, then brings us to the platform of pure bhakti. Because then pure bhakti, you're still, activities and knowledge are being used, right? So the jnana shakti and the kriya shakti are being used. But when I want to use the kriya on its own without Krishna, it's called karma. When I want to use the knowledge without Krishna, it's called jnana. So that's the position. So we have to be very, very aware and conscious that we can't be, we can't be attached to these elements and make the mistake that they're bhakti, because karma yoga is connecting to Krishna. It doesn't mean the karma is bhakti unless it's connected to Krishna. Because if activities are used in Krishna's service, so the karma is then engaged in Krishna's service. So therefore, karma is devotional service, right? Okay, I have karma, I engage in Krishna's service, therefore it becomes bhakti. Therefore, karma is bhakti. We can't make that mistake. It's only when it's connected to the Lord, then it becomes bhakti. That's what we're meaning by these secondaries. So these secondary will be the various Vedic knowledge and activities and all that's there, that's below the paravidya. And that paravidya, when it's used in devotional service, then that takes on the direct qualities, the primary qualities. But otherwise, if not, it takes on the secondary. And there can be gradation within secondary, just like there's gradation in primary. In primary, then you have Vaikuntha, you have Goloka, you have Braj. You know, there's gradation. Okay? Yeah? So he's pointing out that Vaikuntha is eternity knowledge and bliss, not that it's not that and it's just a planet, and then the Brahman is the eternity knowledge and bliss. Right. It is also said, okay, Anucheda 74. It is also said, in this person, time, the controller of the devatas, has no influence. Okay, in this person, time, the control of the devatas, has no influence. What influence can the devatas, who control the material realm, have over him? In him, there is no sattva, rajas and tamas, no false ego, no mahatattva, and no prakriti. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.17, Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In the transcendental state, the living entity, living being, is pure in his consciousness. And as such, he has no false ego to lord it over the material nature. Rather, his pure consciousness directs him to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Vasudevas sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. All this indicates that in the transcendental state, there is neither material creation nor the causal ocean for material nature. The devotees experience the above mentioned state of affairs by attainment of spiritual forms for activity in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. But the impersonalist, because of his neglecting the association of the Lord, does not develop a spiritual body for spiritual activity, but remains a spiritual spark only, merged in the spiritual, effulgent spiritual rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is the full-fledged form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. But the formless Brahman, Brahmajyoti, is simply eternity and knowledge. The Vaikuntha planets are also forms of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And therefore, the devotees of the Lord, who are admitted into the abode of the Lord, also get bodies of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As such, there's no difference between one and another. The Lord's abode, fame, etc., are no difference between one and the other. As such, there's no difference between one and another. The Lord's abode, name, fame, entourage, etc., are the same, of the same transcendental quality. And how this transcendental quality differs from the material world is explained herein in this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, three principal subjects have been explained by Sri Krishna namely karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. But one can reach the Vaikuntha planets by the practice of bhakti yoga only. The other two are incompetent in helping one reach the Vaikuntha lokas. Although they can, however, conveniently take one to the effulgent Brahma Jyoti as described above. Right, so by following, you can get to the Brahma Jyoti by you know, performing these activities without attachment. But to get to the spiritual world, that then is only by bhakti. There is no other process. Parampadam Vaishnavam Atmananti Amananti Tad Yan Neti Neti Yatad Ut Shishri Shava Shishrija Dauratmyam Ananya Saurida Prido Pa Guhyarha Padam Pade Pade. The yogis desiring to give up the world, which is not Brahman, thoroughly know the abode of the Lord, defined as not this, by avoiding erring intelligence concerning the Lord's nature and avoiding everything not related to the Lord, while embracing at every moment the worshipable lotus feet of the Lord with their whole heart. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.18. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. So the Vaikuntha planets are factually the supreme residential places called the Parampadam. The impersonal Brahma Jyoti is also called the Parampadam due to its being the rays of the Vaikuntha planets, as the sun rays are the rays of the sun, right? So it's called that because they're non-different from the place that they come from. So you want to show that it is the source. Otherwise, you'll take it that Brahma Jyoti is one thing and the planets are another. And so then essentially you take it that if one takes that the Brahman is supreme, then the planets must be a transformation of this Brahman, and that can only happen if there's, you know, in their mind because of ignorance. So when Brahman becomes covered by ignorance, then you get the planets and these forms and activities and everything. But the point is if there's only Brahman, where did ignorance come from? This they can't explain. So the point is, but if you explain the other way, that the Vaikuntha planets, they're, you know, coming from the Lord, therefore from them is coming the fullness of the Brahma Jyoti, then there's no problem, because then that makes sense. You could say, well, where does he come from? But that's the point. He's without beginning. He's not material. Material things have a beginning and an end, but he's not material, so he doesn't have. In the Bhagavad Gita 14.27, it is clearly said that the impersonal Brahma Jyoti rests on the person of the Lord. And because everything rests on the Brahma Jyoti directly and indirectly, everything is generated from the Lord. Everything rests on him, and after annihilation, everything is merged in him only. So that means is that Brahma Jyoti is resting on the Lord, and everything directly and indirectly is resting on Brahman. Therefore, then everything's resting on the Lord, since he's the source of Brahman. Therefore, nothing is independent of him. A pure devotee of the Lord no longer wastes valuable time in discriminating the Brahman from non-Brahman, because he knows perfectly well that the Lord Parabrahman, by his Brahman energy, is interwoven in everything. And thus, everything is looked upon by the devotee as the property of the Lord. So he doesn't have to worry about this neti-neti, like we see in a previous verse about the devotees give up this tendency for neti-neti, because they don't have to say that this is not. The point is that everything's coming from the Lord, so everything's connected to the Lord. So they only look at how it's engaged in the Lord's service. You know, you're able to define, yes, okay, this is not this you're removing because it's not transcendental consciousness. That you're giving, that yet you're doing. But it's not about the time and space elements. The devotee tries to engage everything in his service and does not create perplexities by falsely lording it over the creation of the Lord. He is so faithful that he engages himself as well as everything else in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In everything, the devotee sees the Lord, and he sees everything in the Lord. the specific disturbance created by a duratma, or crooked soul, is due to his maintaining that the transcendental form of the Lord is something material, right? So that's always going to come down as they, anybody who doesn't have that proper understanding of faith, they're always trying to say it's something material. You know, that it's always coming from people who have created this understanding. Okay. Yeah. Desiring to give up that which is not spiritual, neti neti, giving up the idea of the Lord and Jiva being the same, visrija dauratmyam, embracing the worthy lotus feet of the Lord, which appears at every moment in the heart, having friendship with no one else, ananya saurida, they know amananti vaikunta vaishnavam padam, this is the sarup of Brahman, right? This is the form of Brahman. By the indications of prema, the impersonal form is rejected. The author of Mukta Phala, though an impersonalist, has commented, they know the abode of Vishnu, which is supreme. It is supreme since it is like a king who rules over others, including Brahma Loka. Because it is ruled by Vishnu, it is supreme. Vaishnavanam Padam means the place ruled by Vishnu. Or Vaishnavam Padam. Shruti establishes the greatness of, okay, that's the next one. Yeah, so even here he's showing that impersonalist, he's even commenting how this transcendental realm is beyond and everything like that. So he sees that, and now and again, they have one understanding, but they can't apply it. That becomes the weakness. Yeah, yeah. So in Shruti then, sa bhagava kshamim pratishta iti sve mahim ni. Dear sir, in what is the Supreme Lord situated? He is situated in his own glorious abode. Chandogya Upanishad 7.24.1. Yasya brahma cha kshatram cha ubhe bhavata odana mrityor yasyo pase chanam ka ita veda yatrasa. Brahmas and kshatriyas are his food. Death is the topping sprinkled on the food. Who knows where this person dwells? Katu Upanishad. Sukadeva spoke thus. So everything is devoured by the Lord in time. The topping sprinkled, like, you know, some danyapata or something, you know, some roasted jira powder. You know, that's okay. So, yeah. So basically, is that we're seeing that the realm of the spiritual realm, the planet of the Lord, that is transcendental just like the Lord. It's attained only by bhakti. And that bhakti means you're giving up that desire to just get out of the material world, but it's about the devotion to the Supreme Lord in the association of the devotees. So that's how it's obtained. Right? Yes? Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada ki.